Let's turn to the book of James here this morning. Let's go to James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and I'll get that going here in a second. But let's at least start off with our scripture reading here this morning. James chapter 4, and I read out of my NASB Bible translation. I hope you have your Bibles with you because those words will not be up here on the screen here this morning, at least not for now. These are the words of James as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. So if you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen. And let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. These two short little verses. We'll do things here a little bit different this morning. Verse number 11, chapter 4. James says this, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" We'll stop right there. Today we're going to continue in this expository study in the book of James, and this is our 23rd week in this study. And I've titled today's message, "He Who Speaks Against a Brother," the exact words that James uses in chapter 4, verse number 11. It was just two little verses, but in order to properly interpret these two verses here today, we must remember two very important rules of proper scripture interpretation. And those two rules would be this: context and scripture interprets scripture. What is context? Context is sometimes called the 20-20 rule. We have the passage that's in question. We read 20 verses before that. We read 20 verses after that to get the entire context of what the author is attempting to tell us and teach us. Context. And the second rule, scripture interprets scripture. We know this, scripture will never contradict itself. So, is whatever the author trying to teach us, can that be found somewhere else in scripture? And we need to look in those places for that. So, failure to follow these two very basic rules of scripture interpretation may or will lead a person to improperly interpret the passage that they're trying to interpret. So let's look at these two verses again, because I do have some words underlined here, and we'll just talk about those underlined words. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. And then down here, but who are you who judge your neighbor? If we looked at these two verses, if these were the only two verses that we ever had, and we were just looking at these two verses, we could easily misinterpret these and conclude that we are never and not to judge our brothers and sisters in Christ. After all, it does say that if we judge our brother, we're judging the law. That's what it says. And it also says that we speak against the law. And it also gives us one of these: who are you to judge your neighbor? So if we just took those two verses, we could possibly conclude that. But, there's that great transition word, but is that what James is teaching us in these two verses? And the answer to that will be no. And we know that because scripture interprets scripture. What does James write later on in his same book? He writes this, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." And these are actually the last two verses in the entire book of James. It is impossible for a Christian to point out a sin and another Christian without judging them to some degree. So you might be saying, well, okay, since the word of God cannot contradict itself, what is James saying in chapter 4, verses 11 and 12? Well, for probably about the last year, maybe a little bit longer, I have been using a New American Standard Bible translation, and I really like this translation, and we have those translations in the pews. But sometimes another translation or another reading can really help us with the meaning of a certain passage. So I'm going to put the words of James 4:11 up here, and this time I'm going to use the New International Version, and the NIV would say this: brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. So the NIV is actually putting a word in there: do not slander one another. The NASB says, do not say anything against a brother. And even the New King James Version says, he who speaks evil against a brother. So we have three different translations, but they're all virtually saying the same thing. They are saying, don't speak wrongly against your brothers and sisters in Christ. And certainly speaking slander against another and speaking evil against another, again, are going to be synonymous. And the Bible does call slanderous speech a sin. So let's kind of follow that train of thought here this morning, that about speaking evil against one another. So, but let's define that word slander. What is slander? We have the definition up here and also on the inside of your bulletin in the top right-hand corner. Slander, the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. A false and defamatory oral statement about a person. So now that we know what the definition of slander is, now that we know what James 4:11 is telling us, let's ask these two questions. What is the context of chapter 4 of the book of James? And the answer to that would be this: the brethren were lusting and they were envying, which resulted in quarrels, conflicts, fights, and even murder. We know that. We've already discussed that. But let's ask this question. What started all that? What could have possibly started all that? I believe that these brethren that James is referring to here were saying ungodly things. They were saying slanderous and evil things against and about each other. And that led to envy, and it led to coveting, and that led to quarrels and fights and conflicts and even murder when it goes that far. Now that what kind of makes the whole context of this passage a little more sense right now. I'm sure if any of us in here right now, we would get upset if our names and our reputations were being slandered, false charges and misrepresentations all about the community, or if our names and reputations were being slandered at work, and certainly if they were being slandered here at church. That would upset us. It would. So what James is telling the brethren here in this letter, and he's effectively telling us, is that we should not be speaking evil, especially slanderous things, against a brother or sister in Christ because of two different reasons. Number one, well, slander is sinful, and speaking evil things in itself would be evil and sinful. And number two, because of where such things could lead a person, and that can be dangerous. That sin of slander has the potential of leading to many, many other sins. And in this situation, as we know, it did. It led to fights and quarrels and conflicts and even murder. There is a difference between judging truthfully and judging falsely. We are to judge truthfully, and that judgment would be by biblical standards. And again, we're going to talk more about that when we get to the last two verses in the book of James, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. But for the remainder of our time here today, let's ask and answer these two questions. Question number one, how can a Christian judge another Christian falsely? And then question number two, which is very similar, what does it look like to speak evil about another Christian in judgment? There are 6 points in your bulletin, and I'm going to have them up here on the screen, that I'm going to present to you. And these 6 points come from the website www.bible.org. And these points were presented by a man, his name is Pastor Stephen J. Cole. So I want you to know that I didn't come up with these myself. They are from that website and from that pastor. When we put each one of these 6 points up here, I am going to give an example of each one. And in each one of these examples, I am going to use a fictitious character that I have affectionately named Uncle Buck. Now, I really hope none of you have an Uncle Buck, because Uncle Buck is not going to be the good guy in all 6 of these scenarios. But I thought that if I used him as an example, it might help to get the point across a little bit. Let's look at the first one from Pastor Stephen J. Cole. You judge someone wrongly when you set up human standards rather than holding to God's word as the standard. And again, these are fill in the blanks in your bulletin. This point must be foundational when we are judging. Any and all judgment between Christians must be based on the word of God. You, as a congregation, have every right to judge me when I act or speak contrary to the word of God. You would be judging me according to biblical standards, and I understand that. We are not to judge on human standards. What do human standards look like? Let's introduce Uncle Buck. Well, Uncle Buck told me that if I keep on listening to and playing rock and roll music, that I'm going to hell. Well, Romans 14 does speak about issues called disputable matters. They are not biblical issues as such, but some Christians will insist on making them biblical issues. A disputable matter, according to Romans 14, would say something like this. It's sinful for me to do X, Y, Z, but that's just between me and God. It might not be sinful for you. But Uncle Buck has judged me by his human standards. He doesn't care for rock and roll music because he says it's the devil's music, and he doesn't want me listening to it or playing it either. Folks, there is no biblical mandate anywhere in the Word of God that says that I cannot listen to or play rock and roll music. Uncle Buck's judgment was based on his own human standards and something that is between him and God. But his standard is not my standard. And it's a disputable matter that we can both agree to disagree on. So in this case, Uncle Buck has judged me wrongly. Let's go to the second one. You judge someone wrongly when you do not first judge your own sin before trying to help him with his sin. I think we're all familiar with this one. Jesus talks about it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 5, when he's on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says this, "Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Jesus never tells us, he never tells us that we are not to judge our brother or not to remove the plank out of their eye, out of that sinning brother's eye. But what he is telling us is this: to remove the speck or the plank, whatever it might be, in our own eye before we confront our brother or sister in Christ. So what does Uncle Buck have to say about this? Well, Uncle Buck said, I better not steal anything when I go to the Walmart store. But his home office, if you go into his den, it's full of pens and paper and notebooks and paper clips and even a printer that he took from his work. And he laughs about it and says, they'll never miss it. They'll never miss it. Well, Uncle Buck, why don't you clean your own closet before you try to clean mine? Uncle Buck, again, has judged wrongly. Number three, you judge someone wrongly when you criticize him out of jealousy, bitterness, selfish ambition, or some other sin, rather than seeking to build him in Christ. And again, these are word for word the way that Pastor Stephen Cole had them listed. Uncle Buck, he's really upset because he didn't get the position of deacon at our church. And he says, the only reason that I got it was because I took the pastor out to lunch one time. One time. Now Uncle Buck is telling everyone that I bribed the pastor to get that deacon position. Folks, the body of believers, us, we're in the business of edifying each other, of building each other up. Uncle Buck should have been proud of the fact that I got the deacon's position. But now we know Uncle Buck's motive for criticizing me, and it was due to perhaps jealousy, perhaps selfish ambition, perhaps rivalry or pride, or maybe even out of hatred in some way. Once again, Uncle Buck has judged me wrongly. Number four, you judge someone wrongly when you assume that you know all of the pertinent facts and motives behind the person's words or actions. Here's that Uncle Buck again. You know what he's doing now? He's telling everyone that I bought that Corvette out of the money that I skimmed out of the church treasury, because that's the only way I could ever afford to have that car. We are judging on shaky ground when we do not know all of the pertinent facts. Question, are we judging based on gossip? Question, are we judging based on third or fourth hand information? Question, are we 100% sure that the information that we have is correct? Uncle Buck has judged wrongly, once again, because he did not have all the facts. I put my money into a 401k. I didn't skim money off the church. Next one. You judge someone wrongly when you share confidential or personal information with the wrong intent. Uncle Buck wanted everyone to know that Aunt Ethel was put in jail because she has written bad checks. And he knew that I was a prayer warrior and that I could pray for Aunt Ethel in front of the church and everyone would know why Aunt Ethel is in jail. You used a prayer circle to pass on information and it's certainly the wrong intent. I have no need to know all this information about Aunt Ethel. Uncle Buck just wanted to feel important because he knows what's going on. He thought he knew all the facts. But his real intent was to let everybody know that Aunt Ethel messed up big time and that he knew all about it. And he wanted everyone to know just how much he knew and understood. He had the wrong intent. Uncle Buck, once again, has judged wrongly. Now I'm just going to stop here. There's one more left. I don't know about you, but my toes are really starting to hurt. The last one. You judge someone wrongly when out of a self-righteous spirit you criticize or malign him over a minor or indifferent matter. You know that Uncle Buck, you should know him by now, been talking about him all morning. He says that I spend too much money on lottery tickets. He says he prefers to give his money to the church. And he tells everybody that I spend too much money on lottery tickets. And he tells everybody that he prefers to give his money to the church. Perhaps if I was not feeding and clothing my wife and children because of this practice of purchasing lottery tickets, then it may be time for Uncle Buck to step in. But in this example, Uncle Buck wanted everyone to understand how much better of a steward he was and is of the provisions that God has given him. A much better steward of the money that God has given him, more than what I could do. He prefers to give his money to the church and not to the lottery. But if I want to give $20 a week on lottery tickets and it's not taken away from other important issues, then let me alone. It's my form of entertainment. I enjoy doing that. Uncle Buck spends $35 a week going to the movies. And he has no chance of winning anything. But it's a minor issue. But Uncle Buck has a self-righteous spirit, and he wants to make himself look good, put himself over me. Once again, Uncle Buck has judged me wrongly. So with the help of Pastor Stephen J. Cole, I have given you 6 ways that we can speak evil against our brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're all in a very unbiblical manner. And some of these issues that I put up here and some of the examples could even be slanderous. And as Christians, we just cannot go that route. James tells us we cannot go that route. There is a biblical way to judge others, and we're going to get into that when we get to the last 2 verses in James, chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. But for now, let's really be careful about what we say about the brethren, certainly in front of other people, and especially our motives for doing so. Because one thing for sure, we don't want to be like Uncle Buck. Let's pray.